From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When Kayla Evans was charged with aggravated battery and child endangerment in Lake County in the summer of 2022, she was found unfit for trial by a judge. She had an intellectual disability and psychiatric issues beyond that, so the judge ordered her to be transferred to a state hospital. The idea was that Evans would receive what's known as inpatient restoration, short-term mental health care aimed at restoring someone's ability to participate in legal proceedings. But that did not happen. The State Department of Human Services had no beds available for women. Evans was left waiting in the Lake County Jail. She often didn't eat or drink, nor did she take her medications. Eventually, jail records show, she was not able to move from the waist down. She was even on suicide watch. Finally, after 67 days, she died, hundreds of miles from her home in Texas, still waiting for a bed to open up. At least four people in Illinois, Evans included, died in jails in the past few years while waiting for a state hospital bed to open. On top of that, many more defendants have needed inpatient restoration, leading to longer waits for beds, often in jail. Meredith Newman is an investigative reporter with the Illinois Answers Project. She recently covered all this for an in-depth story. It's called Too Mentally Ill for Trial. She spent months in an Illinois jail as the state looked for a hospital bed. She died waiting. We'll have a link to that at our website, 21stshow.org. But Meredith Newman, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
And I should say, this is going to be a heavy conversation, as that introduction suggested. We're going to have discussions of mental health conditions and even suicide, so listener discretion is advised. I should also note, in order to make schedules meet, we taped this conversation with Meredith last week. Because of that, we're not taking calls live for this part of the show, but you can let us know what you thought. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. All right, Meredith, why are we seeing this increase in people being declared unfit for trial in the first place?
It's a really good question, and one that I figured I'd be able to find out pretty quickly in my reporting. But after talking to more than a dozen of experts, from sheriffs to forensic psychologists to public defenders, no one really knows exactly why. Many people point to post-COVID-19 pandemic, everything kind of getting a bit worse and seeing significant increases in mental health issues, and also just, lack of services in the community. And so as a result, that's playing out in the criminal justice system. But there was a clear increase around 2024 specifically. But everyone points to lack of services, but there's no real specific reason other than that, at least from what my reporting showed.
So what does that mean in an individual case? What is required by state law when someone is declared unfit?
Sure. So like you had mentioned, when someone is found unfit for trial, it means that they can't understand the legal proceedings unfolding around them, and they also can't help their lawyer craft a defense. In most cases, it's someone who is suffering from significant mental illness, but it can also be someone who has an intellectual disability or a traumatic brain injury. And so what state law requires is that once someone is found unfit in order to inpatient treatment, the Illinois Department of Human Services has 60 days to then transfer them to a state hospital to undergo that fitness restoration process. The second part of the law says if that isn't possible, the state needs to show, quote unquote, good faith efforts that they're trying to find a bed for someone. My reporting found that most people aren't being placed within that time frame, and that the state is relying on that second part of the law instead. And like you had mentioned, this isn't specifically mental health treatment. It's really just to get people back ready for the criminal justice system.
Yeah. So why does the deadline get missed so often?
It's a product of an increase in people being found unfit for trial and lack of beds. This is a problem that people can point back to kind of the start of the 1950s and 60s when state mental institutions were closed, but there weren't any real community services to replace them. And so as a result, states across the country, not just Illinois, struggle with bed capacity and inpatient care. And so you're really just seeing more demand than supply in terms of just having enough beds for folks.
How much longer have people been waiting for beds?
So from our analysis, we found that at the highest point, in terms of a median, people were waiting about 113 days. In my reporting, I found an individual who waited 226 days, then was found fit within 2 weeks, and then cut to about a year or so later, he was charged again and waited for about 150 days. So that's the longest time that I have personally come across, but I found other people who have waited 150 days, if not a bit longer.
So we've both now mentioned this idea that it's inpatient restoration is the name for this. And, you know, I think to some ears, that could just sound like a euphemism. That was my first thought when I first read it. What is that, just a euphemism for treatment now? Or we don't call it treatment anymore. But no, and you've sort of alluded that this is not really the same thing as full-on mental health treatment. So can you talk about how it works? What is the end goal? How do they measure success in this process?
Yeah, it's something I wish I could dive into more in my reporting. It's really interesting because I also thought similarly. For inpatient, I think it really depends on the individual and kind of where they are. But from what experts told me, it can range to, I heard examples of, not necessarily in Illinois, but examples at large of, you know, people being shown episodes of Law and Order or, you know, My Cousin Vinny to like get an idea of like, this is a judge, this is a public defender, this is what charges are, to, you know, it could be treatment, medication, getting someone stabilized, being in group settings and group therapy. So from my understanding, it can really be a wide range. There's also a new, not new component, but a component that public defenders are hoping to use more of, which is outpatient fitness restoration, which is the idea that people who are charged with crimes and are found unfit can actually stay out of jail and in the community and undergo fitness restoration. And there's been recent changes where there's a hope that that will be prioritized more. Of course, that has its own concerns with and challenges, but it can really run the gamut in terms of what treatment really looks like.
I'm sorry, I can't get over the fact that you said people are shown Law and Order or My Cousin Vinny.
Felt that way too. I had to be like, come again for a second. But yeah, it's really fascinating. And again, not necessarily happening in Illinois, but just from national experts, that's something that they often referred to.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess you're not trying to make people Clarence Darrow. You're just trying to get them to understand what's happening. All right. This is the 21st show. We're talking for the first part of our program today about an in-depth investigation from the Illinois Answers Project, looking at what happens when defendants in the criminal justice system are found unfit for trial and ordered to receive inpatient treatment from a state hospital. It's been happening more often, and many of these people have waited months for a transfer. We're talking about this and the effect all of it can have with investigative reporter Meredith Newman. Again, we taped this conversation last week, so no calls for the first part of our program, but let us know what you thought. talk@21stshow.org. So, Meredith, you chronicle the stories of some of the people who've been left waiting for beds while staying in jail. What are some of the experiences that stick out to you from that?
Sure. There's this one woman that I identified as EB in the story just to protect her and her family's privacy as she's going through current inpatient mental health treatment. But she was charged with a misdemeanor and a violation of a no contact order. And as a result, she was found unfit and was in jail waiting for a bed. And something that stuck out to me about her case was, you know, the charges that she faced, the maximum jail time would be 364 days since it was a misdemeanor. And she waited over 100 days, and she was ultimately found not guilty. And something that her public defender said to me was that she should never have been charged in the first place due to, you know, the nature of the charges against her. And also, just from learning more about her in the case, her charges really stemmed from her mental illness. And something else is I was able to get in contact with her brother, who just described the toll that this had on her, both mentally and physically. He recalled how she was a healthy looking woman. And then he was at court one day for one of her hearings and she just walked in and she was skin and bones. And same with another gentleman who I don't identify by name, again, to protect his privacy. He was the one that was found unfit twice in the last 3 years. The first time was over 200 days. And he comes from a very supportive, close-knit family that just wants to get him care. But they really struggle because he just got placed after waiting close to 140 days. But while he was in jail, the family just had no idea how he was doing, if he was having any access to mental health care. A lot of these families thought that the system was going to help. When they heard like, oh, he's going to a hospital, this will be a good thing. This will be a step in the right direction. And they really realized it can be the opposite. As one public defender told me, so many times once the door of these, so to speak, door of these charges opens, it's really hard to close. And so just the mental, physical, and emotional toll that these wait times can have on folks just really continues to stick with me.
You know, not as a boast, but sort of as a plea, the Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart has been for years telling anyone who would listen that the county jail is essentially the largest mental health facility in the country, sort of de facto. How are jails able to handle people with these conditions, right? How does jail treatment of people with mental illness factor in here?
Yeah, I think that is echoed from what Sheriff Dart said from, I would say, almost every sheriff in Illinois, if I had to guess, but many of the ones that I spoke to, they will say jails are not mental health hospitals. We can't care for them in the way that they need to be. And this really reached a tense point around 2022 when a handful of sheriffs across the state sued the Illinois Department of Human Services for these delays. Many will say that the issue continues to persist. There have been some interesting developments, though. Two pilot programs have recently launched in Kankakee County and McHenry County, and they're taking in defendants from smaller jails that often don't have much in terms of resources for mental health care. And they're providing them with mental health care as they wait for a bed. And from early data from progress reports that were submitted to the state, a number of people were found fit in the process. And so sheriffs, some mental health experts are very hesitant about the idea. But I think for some sheriffs, it's a positive step in terms of providing relief to the smaller jails. I wrote about this, and there was one sheriff that I spoke to from Menard County. They have maybe a couple hours of Zoom mental health care a week, and it's a very small jail with few resources. And he recalled getting a detainee who was found unfit, and he admittedly was like, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to help him or care for him. And so he was among the first to go to Kankakee and undergo the pilot program there. So that seems, again, promising, but I think this is still, a burden that jails across the state are facing.
How are the families of people affected by these experiences?
It's a great question. I think many are frustrated and confused. Mentioning the families that I talked to previously, they just want their loved ones to get help and care. And due to, so many different circumstances, they are ending up in jail with charges that they say stem from their mental illness. And so it's a real struggle because there's very little control. I mean, there's very little that lawyers and public defenders can do to help move along this process. And so I think many are assume that there's a system in place to help these individuals. And then once they get to that point, they realize that in some cases that's not true.
Yeah, and families are certainly, in most cases, not equipped to handle this sort of thing themselves. All right, let me reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, it's the 21st show. We're talking about how people found unfit for trial in Illinois are treated, particularly when they're ordered to be transferred to a state hospital for inpatient care. There's a new investigation from the Illinois Answers Project that says it often takes much longer than it's supposed to under state law. And the article outlines some of the consequences of that. We're talking about it with the reporter behind that story, Meredith Newman. We need to take a break. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. This is the 21st show.
Support for the 21st show comes from the Des Moines Art Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at DesMoinesArtCenter.org.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about how people who have been found unfit for trial because of either reasons of mental health issues or perhaps intellectual disabilities, under state law, they're supposed to be transferred to a state hospital for what is known as inpatient restoration. The idea is that they are restored to at least the point where they can understand and participate in legal proceedings. There's a deadline in state law for when they're supposed to be transferred out of a jail to get that sort of treatment. But increasingly, the state and the jails are missing those deadlines. More and more often, people have waited months and months for a transfer. All this was the subject of a report from the Illinois Answers Project. The reporter behind that story is Meredith Newman. We'll have a link to her piece on our website. It was called Too Mentally Ill for Trial. She spent months in an Illinois jail as the state looked for a hospital bed. She died waiting. That is about one particularly tragic case in similar circumstances here. We taped this conversation last week, so no calls for this part of the show today, but you can let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Meredith, I want to talk about some of the other systemic sort of responses here. What have judges been doing about all this, right? Because they are the ones who are kind of responsible for delivering a speedy justice under law. How have they been reacting?
Yeah, that was a really interesting finding of my reporting process. There's something that I found that in many cases, public defenders are filing regarding their clients who've been found unfit. And it's called a petition to rule, show cause. And it's basically the idea that if one party feels like the other party is not following a court order, they can file this petition, and then a judge will make a decision. And sometimes it can lead to fines. And I found that specifically in Lake County, this has been increasingly happening. IDHS has been the target of about 100 of these petitions in more than about a dozen jurisdictions. And in some cases, judges have sided with public defenders, specifically in Lake County, like I mentioned. One judge found in one specific case that IDHS would have to pay $1,000 a day until these people were transferred to a hospital. And as a result, there's been really interesting opinions. I found two judges that have questioned if this is even constitutional.
You're finding a state agency, right? So we're all paying the through our taxes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I should note that I found in my story that IDHS paid Lake County about $500,000. They then later settled where $300,000 came back to the department, and they said that some of it will go to mental health care in Lake County. But yes, it is significant still. And yeah, it was quite eye-raising for me to see judges questioning if these defendants' constitutional rights are being violated, specifically, you know, the idea of the right to a speedy trial. There was one judge that said, you know, I feel like we're on the line of cruel and unusual punishment. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you know, I think we're at the point of over the line. And so it's clear, again, from the limited cases that I saw, you know, it seems everyone's frustrated in this scenario. Of course, the public defenders and the families and the jails, and the prosecutors too, but also the judges who are just seeing this play out again and again and again.
What is the Illinois Department of Human Services trying to do to solve these problems?
So they have added beds and staff to their state hospitals, which seems to be helping. They're also partnering with local hospitals in the community to set aside space for certain folks who might be a good fit to undergo fitness restoration there. And they're also, like I mentioned, those pilot programs earlier in Kankakee County and McHenry County jails, they are paying and funding those programs. So they still are doing stuff to try to help.
What about the jails? What are they, you know, do they have the capacity to do anything sort of longer term here? What are they doing in response?
I think that is an interesting thing to keep an eye on going forward. The Kankakee County Sheriff seems very optimistic about the pilot program. They right now have about 20 beds of people that they're taking in. He thinks that could increase to 50. Similarly to McHenry County, they also think that it can grow. So I think that's a step in the right direction. I think also, I had mentioned this earlier, but there was a change in law that Governor Pritzker signed this summer that prioritizes outpatient fitness restoration. And so I think there's a hope there that if, you know, more people can undergo outpatient restoration, then that can, you know, provide some relief to that wait list. So there's
those are people with misdemeanor charges specifically.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So the idea that people who shouldn't likely be in jail anyway, waiting for their criminal proceedings can undergo that. Though, you know, that also has its limitations to a certain degree. There was just when talking to public defenders on how this might play out in their area, one said to me, you know, it's a great idea, but that requires people to show up to their appointments and get there and have the support system to even, you know, do that. And if they don't, then they can wind up in jail because they're not following, you know, an order. And then on the other side too, a public defender also said, I love the idea of it, but there's no provider in my area that can provide those services. So again, I think that's a really promising idea that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the coming months.
Meredith Newman is an investigative reporter with the Illinois Answers Project. We'll have a link to her article at our website, 21stshow.org. Meredith, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us here on the 21st Show.
Thank you.